Intercessors. You know, that's a great myth. In order to be an intercessor, you've got to be in a group or you've got to be special. And you think, no, that's always a myth. If you can pray, if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you can pray and you begin to intercede for your life, for your family, you're an intercessor. And there's greater dimensions coming. God is raising up. And there's a frequency of intercession coming in. Especially now, we are going to fight. There's something that I begin to touch as I pray. There's going to be hope to the hopeless.
Yeah.
Many things are going to change. We are entering, as Pastor Nathan said, we are entering into the labor of 40 years of the Baptist Church. Now we are entering and taking up to a new level. There's going to be hope. There's going to be development. There's increase in population. There's going to be blessing. And most of all, souls are going to be brought into the kingdom. There's going to be nature then. And we are going to combine with churches to reach up the heavenly income down. Amen. Amen. Throughout the whole night, the Lord was speaking to me, turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Say to me, turn around. I do not know what you're going through, but God is saying there's going to be a turnaround today. God is going to be turn around. I think we have shared this message, but it's good to know. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, the background of it, we need to know that David came from battle and he came to Ziklag and found that he entered into a great dark period of his life. The Amalekites had come and robbed them, stolen, burned their houses, sold the whole family. And when David and his 600 men came over, they were stunned, they were confused, and there was a problem in the camp. And David was saying, God, I lost my family. Then the Bible tells us in verse, he said, there is hope, say with me, hope. And the hope is God is in control. Say with me, God is in control. God is in control. When the Amalekite came in, they were vicious, wild people. They would kill everybody. But when they came, they did not kill any of the men and the women of David's family. No, there was no one was slain. In every situation in your life and my life, God is in control. God is for us. No one was slain. It shows that there is a restraining hand of God when calamities, personal calamities, happen to you and me. Look for that redeeming grace of God.
Amen.
Say with me, redeeming grace of God.
Amen.
I want to say God is in control. Nothing is out of control. God's redeeming grace, the reason why they were protected, simply says that God is in control. So whatever your dark situation is, God is in control. It's going to turn around.
Amen.
David was so discouraged that he began to talk, seek the Lord, and he began to say, seek the Lord, God, the Lord. In other words, God and the Lord. There is Lord, Jehovah. He began to reach out to the covenant, faithful God, to the Lord. You know Him, who is possessor of heaven and earth. You got to seek the Lord. God is the answer, not human being.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Praise the Lord. At this time, I just want to say this. God is going to intervene in your life. I'm going to speak resurrection life in your situation. Get ready to get the miracle. If you're sick and delivered, you need deliverance, you need healing, just ask the Lord. Lord, as I speak life, I speak resurrection life. Receive the healing from Jesus from heaven. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every situation in life, calamity, every situation, for sickness, diseases, illnesses, everything that is negative. I cancel it today. I cancel all sickness and diseases in the mighty name of Jesus. And I speak life, resurrection. Be healed. Be healed. Receive your miracle. I activate the gift of healing, faith, and recreating miracle and healing. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. I command every sickness. Leave in Jesus' name. Help. not natural, but it's the gift of healing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, this time we please welcome Pastor Ludwig as he shares God's word.
We thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has made us winners, overcomers, by the power of His blood and by the power of His resurrection. And we are alive in Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessing. And God has chosen us to adopt us as to His sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. Let's declare this morning that we are winners. I want us to say together, we are winners.
We are winners.
Because we believe. Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And this morning we're going to agree with all of heaven, we're going to agree with God, because two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. And so in the name of Jesus, we're going to believe what we have just declared this morning, that we are truly winners, that we can do what we can do. We are who we are. We have what we have because of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Alright, children, you may go to your Sunday school or children's church. Yes. Bit of a tongue twister for me this morning. Amen. Here in Evangel, we believe that the Word of God is true. We believe that the Word of God sets us free.
Yes.
We believe that the Word of God is all-powerful.
Yes.
And we believe that our lives can be changed as the Spirit of God works in us, the Word of God, as we work out our salvation in trembling and in fear. I want to talk to you this morning about, as we've been looking at the book of Leviticus, and as we've been looking at what is God doing in our midst today. We see that God is raising up, He's building up His church, He's raising up His own company of people. We were a people who were once without mercy, but we have now received mercy. We were once alienated, we were now once separated from God, but now through Jesus Christ, through His blood and His broken body, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been reconciled unto God, so that we can be one with the Lord. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Alright, so we are God's own special people. Alright? We are very special in the eyes of God. And God chooses us out. And we have so important in the eyes of God that He has a purpose for us. And we want to talk about, we as the chosen people of God, what does that mean to us? Because we are set apart, we are separated, we've been separated from uncleanness to be clean, we've been taken out from the world, from darkness, and now we've been brought into this marvelous light. We've been taken out of lies and untruthfulness and deceit, and now we have come to His truth. We were once in unholiness, but now we've come unto the holiness of God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. Amen? I want to start off. As I talk about this, let me read the key scriptures that I want to open up this morning. I want to take you through the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. That will be on the screen, followed by Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 15. Now, wherever you are this morning, wherever you're from, whatever your background is, whatever you've done in the past, God's eyes and hand is upon us, and He wants to take us out and bring us to Himself. Let me read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. And this is what the Bible says, that He will pick us up. He wants us to be, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. To do what? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Alright? So we were taken out and brought into the kingdom of God. I want to read Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 15 as well. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. It says this: For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Praise be to God. Teaching us what? Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Everybody say, his own special people. And these special people will be zealous for good works. Okay? So I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody in God's eyes. God so loves us that he went so far as to send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we, you and I, could have life. You know, as I share this word with you, I realize one thing as I've been thinking about this for quite a while now, but there's one thing that I'm still learning and I'm realizing, and well, I have to say that, you know, it takes sometimes a long time for us to recognize things, but we are very blessed here because one of the things that I've learned so much here from this church is that from our spiritual parents, they teach us not only the Word of God, but the Word of God in a practical sense, which means that we don't just read the Bible and get some inspiration and hope to do something great one day. But it is something that the Word of God becomes so real and becomes practical. It actually becomes part of our lives. And our lives can be seen and expressed through what we do with this vessel. Which means whatever is inside of me, I express it through my actions, how I live, through my good works, and through the words that I speak, for how I live and how I speak and what I do and what I choose to say and what I choose not to do and what I choose to do. Amen? And so there's one thing that if anybody can probably agree with me this morning is that we want the Word of God to be so real so that it's not just some mental thing that we learn about God, but it actually has the power to change us. Yeah. And I stand humble before you because I realize even Paul said, you know, I'm not there yet, not that I've already attained, but I'm pressing on. You know, I've been spending a lot of time with the children from Malaysia. And you know, you see this and you correct that and you correct this. And then sometimes you realize, you know, I myself need to change. Do you know what I'm saying? So I realize that as much as you see things that they're not doing right, you realize, hey, my own life. What about my own life? You know? Because we are instructing them in the ways of the Lord. We have to be instructing people. If we're giving some instruction, we have to be doing it ourselves. Amen? It's true. So more and more I realize, and I think about, wow, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing onwards, pressing on to the finish line. Amen? Like Paul says. I want to share the first one with you is, before I actually talk about God's most special people and how they ought to conduct themselves, you know, there's a way that God wants us to conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord, you read in 1 Timothy, is I want to set this line first, that the fact that as God's chosen people, as God's special people, we've been chosen, everybody say chosen, we've been added to the Lord, we were separated from God, but now we've been added to the God, and we have experienced this experience called being born again. Alright, I've experienced this experience that I'm born again. Not that I've gone back into my mom's tummy and born again, but the fact that I've received resurrection in my spirit. I'm dead to myself, I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I confess Jesus. I can't help myself. I need your help, I'm a sinner. I turn away from these things, and today onwards I'll put my faith and my trust in you. You know, recently I was watching this with the children. We were watching Indescribable God, and in this video, I'm sure a lot of you would have seen that. But it just shows you how minuscule, how small and tiny this whole Earth is in this Milky Way or this galaxy that we live in. And our galaxy is just one among many other galaxies. And his whole collection of galaxies is only one little tiny dot in the midst of clusters of other bigger clusters of galaxies. And that in itself is a tiny little dot in the midst of, I don't know what you call it, I'm not a scientist, but I don't know the term, but and as I was listening to that, it made me think, wow, we are really, really, really so small. And I began to realize, it's like I was watching this for the first time, which wasn't the first time I've seen this, but it was like I realized when we say we serve a great God, you imagine how huge the universe is, and God is the one who made that, how much bigger is He? And last night I was just meditating on that thought, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe how tiny and how small we are. And sometimes we look at life as if we're somebody, like we have so much pride, like we're living or holding on to something that is so tiny and so small, and things that will not even be eternal, but they're temporal. But yet in the midst of that, what is man that God is so mindful of him? Wow. You know, I was just going all last night, I was just thinking about this. I'm like, God, who am I? Sinner, wickedness, unholiness, unrighteousness, unclean. Yet, you would pick me out of that and make me into someone. Make me a priest, a holy priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people. We're not just God's people. He's still his peculiar people. His own special people. How precious are we in the sight of God? And the fact that we are chosen by God, we're privileged. And I realize that I've heard this from Dr. Kevin Connor. He says, the more I know about the scripture, the more I realize I don't know. And I have to say it's true. I feel like, you know, obviously I came from a point where I knew nothing. But obviously you learn, and then you realize actually you don't know very much. Amen? But the thing is, God is so big. And I'm humbled by the thought that God will be so mindful that He will pick us, that He so loves us. Amen? What a powerful thought. But the thing is, what I want to bring home just before we move on is this. It is that experience of realizing how small we are, yet how big God is, and picked us out of this darkness, that changes our life completely. It brings into me this reality of who God is. And because we have this sense of the reality of God, our lives can never be the same again.
Amen.
Now, I can testify of that because I know it happened to me. I know what I used to be like before I met Jesus. I know how I used to live. I know what my language was like. I know what my character was like. I know what I used to be like. I know me, right? But I know one thing I know, and even now, as I'm endeavoring to keep changing in the Lord, I know where I'm at, you know? So, not that I've already attained, but I know that I've been changed. Now, the thing is this, though, is that I know that I'm still changing, but yet there is this thing that happened to me in my born-again experience that is so real that there is something in the inside that cries out for the things of God. You know, the reality of who God is, you know, spending time with the children, sometimes, you know, you don't want the children to behave a certain way, right? So you give them some instructions, and then they don't listen to you. And then they start playing up something. And then, because you get tired of always calling them by name, right? So you figure something out, you give them the look. Right? You get pretty tired talking a lot, right? So you give them the look, you look at them, and then when they realize that you're looking at them, they'll be like, and then they'll check whether you're looking in, and they'll go back again, you know? And because they know you're watching, suddenly they're like, oh, I better behave myself, right? Or there are some, you look at them, they look at you. And they challenge you, right? So they don't obey, they're like, oh, pretend they didn't see you, so they turn their heads like, didn't see you, and they keep doing their own thing. So this one doesn't have the fear of the person giving the instructions, so they just do what they want. But when you at least have a sense of, oh, hang on, he's watching me, he's looking at me, that's the look that I shouldn't be doing, and then you realize, oh, hang on, let me get back into, you know, into reality, let me get back to what I'm supposed to do. So I guess the fear of God is like that, right? So when we know God is watching us, we realize, hey, gotta gotta behave myself, right? Gotta change. So, but the thing is, what really brings that home, what really brings that as part of our life is that I need to know that God is so real in my life. I know that for sure because when I received Jesus and when I was water baptized, remember water baptism has no magic in the water, but I know for sure the day I was water baptized, I know for sure right from that moment in time, something different happened. Something absolutely, I can't even explain it, but I know something changed inside of me, and it was such a, I know personally, and I testify, alright, that I know I wanted something more. I knew there was something more. I didn't know what it was, but I just pursued it until I got it. And I found myself here in Evangelical Christian Fellowship by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But without this reality of who God is, I don't really want to change because I'm happy with the way I am. You see, like I said, I make mistakes, but if I find out that I've made a mistake, then at least in me, knowing that it is wrong, I should have a desire, and I should be convicted by the power of the Spirit to do something about it, knowing that I'm wrong. Alright? Okay, so if I know I'm wrong, I must have, because it's this thing saying, you know, there's one thing that I remember right from when I became a Christian is that there's two things that I said to myself, you know, as a Christian, in a way, I have to be real with myself, which means no lying, and you just have to be as honest as you can be. So I wouldn't want to sort of lie to people, even if it's just a little bit. And it's just for something, but I just know that it is something that God put in inside of me. Not that I'm perfect, again, I'm going to stress that out, but I know that if something was not right within, you know, I knew I had to do something, because I know that I would feel like a hypocrite. So I would always try to do the best, knowing whenever God does something, and as we continue to talk about the rest, as we are God's own special people, we got to have this in our lives first, otherwise we can give the instruction, we can read the word of God, yet we don't do it. Why? Remember Mark chapter 7, I'm really just going to quote a couple of verses here. Maybe I should just paraphrase it, is that, you know, the people, they were just quoting how, you know, we honor your father and mother, so instead of honoring my father and mother, I'm going to take the money, and I'm not going to honor my father and mother, I'm going to take that and I'm going to honor God instead and use it for ministry and use it for whatnot and everything to honor God. But then what does Jesus say? You make the word of God with no effect. You take the word of God, you know it, but then you twist it to your own for you. So rather than honoring what the word of God says by honoring your father and mother, you just want to do your own thing and taking the money for yourself and, oh, I'm honoring God instead. But we make the word of God with no effect. 2 Timothy also talks about that. I want to read that one really quickly. First Timothy chapter 3, I think it is. Sorry, second. Second Timothy, chapter 3. And these are the days that we're living in. And remember, I'm talking about God's special people. God, so mindful that He picked us out and put the reality of God inside of us. But look, the reality of what we're living in today is, but you know this, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will love lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. What does that mean? That means you know the word of God, but you deny its power by not obeying it and not practicing it. You make the word of God of no effect. And so we read down from the word, so you keep learning, but you never arrive to the knowledge of the truth. Alright, we deny its power because the word of God says this, and we use it in our own way, not the way God intends it, and it becomes powerless. That truth cannot stand. Because we're not staying with the truth, there's no truth in us, so it has no ground to support what we're trying to do. And so what I'm saying here is that it is so easy to know the scripture, to take the things, all those things, and make it of no effect. Okay, I'll get to this one. Now, so My second point this morning, as I move on quickly here, is the first we've chosen, we pick God, to fear God, God gives us a new line, and from then on we have a desire to change. Now the next thing that happens is this, is that we must be trained. I'm added to the Lord, now I'm added to the church, to be trained, to be equipped for every good work. For the Word of God is inspired, the Word of God is inspired, the Word of God, to teach, rebuke, and all of that thing, right? To do what? To teach, to make us ready for every good work. So we must be trained, and for a purpose, destiny. We are to be the light and the soul of the earth. Now I just want to quickly just talk about the difference between teaching and training. Now I think because we live in a Western world, teaching, when you go to school, teaching, even the days when I went to university, we learned a lot of things. I did computing, I did IT, computing. Did that work in that industry for 5 years before I started full time in evangel. And so we learn so many things. How to do? We learn all the theory of how to program and how to do this, all of that. But you know the reality of even we have assignments and we make this program and we code all these things. We do this assignment and that assignment that we learn that we think is wow, so amazing. But really, in the real industry, in the real IT world, it is nothing. Even what you learn there has not enough experience to actually really know how to do a huge project, like, I don't know, build Microsoft Word or something, you know? Google Maps. I remember one of my assignments was to do something like Google Maps, but it had 64 pictures of the world, zoomed in different angles, and I had to be able to scroll up and down, like, and zoom in and zoom out. But it was only 64 images. Do you know what I'm saying? Google Maps is huge, man. We need some more. You know, so we were doing something like this, so tiny, and it's so insignificant with the reality of what that job is. So a lot of times we learn things like school, but we only know it in the head. We don't actually know how to do it. So the reality is, when most places you start working with, they have to train you how to do the work anyway. Is that true? I think it's pretty true. You need some training, and even your uni degree is not even sufficient. Alright, and it's all this knowledge here, but many times there's no practical aspect of the reality of it. What am I learning? Really. Alright? And this is the difference between teaching and training. And I think that comes because we live in a Western world and the way we're being taught. But I believe the way Jesus taught was different because he did and taught, which means people could see. So there was a practical way in which he was training, so that he wasn't just giving them lectures in a room. If you can picture the days of Jesus, it wasn't, okay, let's sit down, I'll give you a lecture, this is your textbook, and go and learn this. But Jesus, differently, he not only taught them from the Word of God, but he also did. And so the people who were being trained, or at least the 12 disciples that were closely with him, they were trained differently from the multitude that were just coming for miracles. Is that true? And so what they had is they had a visual, they had an experiential, they had this aspect of life which made what they were hearing more and more real rather than just some theory. So in the same way, training versus teaching, at least in our context here in this Western world, is that teaching sometimes, we teach the Word of God, we tell things, we verbalize, we highlight these things, and we have doctrine, and we have all these things, but we need that practicality of what that Word says so that the Word can be translated into a real expression of life. And sometimes, I have to say this for myself for many years, that's the bit that I lack the most. It's like I learned so much of the Scriptures, and I learned so much from this preacher, that preacher, from my own pastors, and from books, and from this. But then what is lacking is the practicality of that, which is what God is dealing with right now. So training is hands-on. We spend time together. It is consistent. It is not just once in a while. But it is consistent. You all know when you've been trained for something and you've got to execute it accurately, you've got to execute it well, you've got to be trained well. Amen? So let me just read another scripture here, and I'll share with you my last point here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. And this is what Jesus gave to the church. Alright? And he himself, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, everybody say apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, okay, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Again, there's a work that we need to do, right? Can I get together? By the way, obviously I'm emphasizing on the good works a little bit this morning. Now, the good works, I think it's a topic on its own, which I'm not here to sort of do this morning. But obviously the good works is to spread the gospel, to extend the kingdom. That is a major part of the good work that God has created us for. And one aspect of the good work I believe too is our own lives. We've got to do good works. Like Timothy talked about, you know, visiting widows and all this kind of thing, visiting the poor and all this kind of thing. Sorry. Okay? Anyway, let's keep moving on here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What I want to emphasize here is that it is God Himself that gave. Alright? So we've been blessed with this fivefold, with these ministers, men and women that God has raised up. And if you want to do life, now, I believe that God speaks to us. God is a personal God as much as God is a personal God. But God also uses these avenues, these channels, to bring the church to a place of completeness, of fullness, to the measure of the stature of Christ. I can only do so much by myself. Oftentimes, when I'm learning from other leaders, or pastors, or learning from our own pastors, they will say things that triggers, oh, I never saw things quite that way. And then suddenly you see something there, but then you also see something, hey, hang on, there's another thing big here that I now see too. But it was triggered by other people that have been helping along the way. And so it helps me in my own growth. Now, so God blessed the church with those people to help us. So we should not come into a place where I'm so personal that I can do it on my own. Because then what we're doing is we're rejecting what God actually gave to the church. Alright? So there's always a good balance between what God gives. So because we say, oh, I don't depend on man, I depend on God alone. So you cut people off. God speaks to me just like He speaks to them, so I can handle myself well. Alright? So there's got to be a good balance. God is a personal God, but God knows we can't help ourselves at any time. Because we're so stubborn. That's a reality. I realize one more thing as well, but you know, when you look at children, for example, I'm sure parents would, I've heard parents say this as well, but you know, when they give instructions to children, they just don't get it right a lot of times. And you've got to keep saying and keep saying, and you keep doing it wrong and keep doing it wrong. Is that right? So in a way, you say, wow, kids are very, sometimes are very stubborn, very hard to teach. But as I say this, I remember when I was a kid too, and I used to be just like that. In fact, I was probably even worse than what I see from other kids, you know? But the reality is, there's a level, there's a measure of stubbornness, of wanting our own way. You know how kids, when they're not happy, they want their own thing? I was one of them, okay? I know that for a fact. That's why I thank God, and I praise God that He set me free from the Lord. Remember, I mean, this is how I was. There was an ad on TV back then, and I told my mom, play that TV ad again. Mom's like, it's TV. I have no control of the TV. But I want it again, I want to see it again. Okay. Yeah, it's how naughty I was too, right? So I knew better than all of you here. Anyway, so the purpose of what I'm saying here is that there's a level of stubbornness. And if we don't change it now, we grow up with all these things undealt with. And when we become older, we're set in a mold. Not that we can't change, but it gets harder to change. So I can imagine how children can be stubborn and never address those issues and grow with it. And that gets expressed in life when we grow older. And no wonder, reading the book of Numbers, how the people of God were so stubborn and so rebellious, and they complained least four sections where they just chapter after chapter they complain. They complain. Miriam complained. God also speak to us. And da 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 da. So complain. Why? I wonder why. So can you imagine if it's not dealt with a young child, how hard sometimes it would be for an older person to say, to recognize first that what they've done is wrong, and obviously change. So, but God is a merciful God, whether you're a kid or whether you're 50, 40, 50, 30, 20, whatever age, God can still change us. But if we are willing, amen?
Thank you, Lord.
So let's receive what God has for us by recognizing how God works. God speaks to us, but God also sends people around us because He knows we can't help ourselves. So let me talk about the last one here. This special group of people that have been picked by the mercy and the grace of God, picked out of darkness, chosen for His will, to be trained, to be made ready, to be prepared. In fact, the book of Revelation says that the church is being prepared and adorned for her husband, the last day church. Amen? So we're going to be prepared for these good works. Number three, zealous for good works. You know, like I said, good works, is a big topic, but I think there's one thing that all of us should always start with is the practical Christian living in the personal sense, right? Okay? It's in the personal sense. What I've realized is over the time of being in church for so long is we accumulate so much knowledge, but how much of it is expressed is another question. That's where the challenge really comes. How many of you know that when you come to church, a lot of times you hear a very good message, and then you say, I wish my brother was here. That message is for him. He should have. Why didn't you be here today? That message is just for him. How many of you have done that before? Oh, I wish this so-and-so was here. You know, this person has this problem. That message was just timely for this person. So we always have a tendency of looking up. When the word comes, we're not looking at ourselves and saying, oh, it's for so-and-so. The reality is that we'll first deal with ourselves first. Changes first. That's the real one. So I'm challenged in a way, because when I find things in the scriptures, sometimes you think, oh, that would be good. That would be a good sermon. That would be a good thing to share with the church. I think God is saying this. But God is not just saying to the churches. God is first saying to me and to the churches. God had to speak to John first, and John then gave the message to the churches. Alright? Let me finish up with a few things here. We have to change. We have to be trained practically, in a practical sense. Hands on. The way Jesus taught, hands on. You know, this kind of training we talk about is more than just like a teaching session, you know? No, hands on is when you actually spend time together. The more you spend time, how many of you like this? You meet someone, become friends, and if you only see them once in a while, wow, this person is so nice. Wow, I wish my brother was like his friend. Look, they talk to me so nice, and they care about me, they give me text messages, and they bring me some presents, they do all these things. So we have this picture that, wow, this person will be hardly see every once in a while here. This is great. But if you're your brother or your friend, or people that are close to you, you spend every day, you're like, oh, he's got this problem, he's got that problem, and we don't really clash in this area. But the thing is, you only identify those things when you spend time together. Is that true?
Yeah.
Right? You wait until that friend who you're like, wow, until you spend a year, let's say 1 week, sleep in the same room, or share the same bathroom, or share the same kitchen, and begin to see whether it will keep your nerves in certain ways. You find out. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is, the hands-on training, those things that get identified in our lives, is when you close range. Alright? It's practical.
Yes.
One thing I learned from this church is that it's the job that will test us. It is the circumstances that will test whether we believe what we say we believe. And sometimes we say, you know, God's word is the final authority. We can declare those things and we say all these kind of things. But the thing is, what will test whether what I say is true is how I do things. That means if I got offended, am I going to go to that person and say, oh, look, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, or if you've gone through this hard time, are you going to do it the way God says to do it? So the circumstances will actually test whether what we say is really true. When we're given a job, when we're given an assignment, whether at work, whether anywhere, the process of your training will actually show how much you've done the job well. So God deals with us according to His word in practical ways. Proverbs is a very practical book. You know, it talks about lying, laziness, and all these kinds of, you know, running to the world, pride, and all these kind of things. And these are the things that actually hold us back. Because God wants us to be a powerful witness. God wants us to be zealous for good works. Right? Zealous for good works. But what stops us is many times is because we ourselves neglect those things that God, those practical things that God is dealing with our hearts first, and our conscience is not clear. We can't be a powerful witness. We can't be zealous for good works because there are so many things that are undealt, and our conscience becomes unclear. And we stay in the same spot on and on and on and on. So God deals with us according to His word. In a practical way. I'll share with you one way that God deals with me in this very, very recently in a practical sense, okay? We're reading the book of Leviticus, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe some of you, but that's okay. You can catch up for the rest of it, not. So the book of Leviticus, as we say this morning, and I'm kind of alluding to this now, is that God is a holy God. God is showing us a picture of holiness and holiness. Uncleanness and cleanness, purity and impurity, right? And all these kind of things, right? So God was making it very distinct. This is clean, this is dirty, this is clean, this is unclean, this is holy, this is unholy. This is the fire that I want, this is profane fire. All this, you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means God was very clear about, okay, these things belong to this area, this thing belongs to that area. So, for example, when I look at my own kitchen, okay? I'm a guy, so let me be a little bit understanding too, but no excuses anyway. So, you know, in my pantry, I might have the food area, but I might have a few cleaning agents, you know? But the thing is, if I'm going to apply, and thank God for people to tell me, if, you know, if you've got to keep things where they have to be kept. So that means food area is food, right? Cleaning agents or whatever is kept in one section. Do you understand what I'm talking about, right? So in a way, it's a practical thing, isn't it? But it's also from the word, because God says this is clean, this is unclean. So this is kitchen, this is not kitchen, this is food, this is your laundry section, do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay? So what I'm saying is that God does speak to us so that it is not just a lesson that we learn spiritually and become so spiritually obese, but it helps us to be practical, real living. You know, when people look it out, when people, whether they're Christian or non-Christians, what validates what we say is that they will actually look at us and say, is this person real or is this person not real?
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, we want to be a good testimony, and a lot of times is those practical things that we've not dealt with becomes a stumbling block.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. It becomes a stumbling block for others who have good qualities and say, hang on, how come he's got the Holy Spirit and he's so blurred? How come he's got the Holy Spirit and he prays in tongues and he's so lazy? It doesn't equate. Is that right? It doesn't equate. So I have to realize, hang on, if God is a practical God, if God is so real, then, you know, I can't become a stumbling block because I've got to really do what the Word of God says. So that I've been challenged in many ways as well to do that. You know, and so that's why it's so important to be trained, to receive, because we are God's special people. We are God's people. No, we're not the devil's pet. We're God's own special people. Trained for something majestic. Trained for wonders that will be judging angels. That's like beyond our mind. Let me conclude with this now, is this. You know, we talk about being trained, and I emphasize in point number two that God sends people to train us. Pastors, leaders, those in authority, those in spiritual authority. You know, I look at my own dad. My own father is a very practical person. He's very orderly, okay? He's got very good qualities. He does what he says he'll do, so if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Alright? So these are some good qualities that I know my dad has. Very hardworking. He does a lot of things, right? And he These are some of the good qualities. But when I looked at my own life, and I look back now in hindsight, I said, I should have really, from a young age, learned what he had, so that I could excel when, by the time I'm 20, by the time I'm 30. You know what I'm talking about? But I like that because, okay, maybe I wasn't born again, but even after I was born again, you know, why did I not capture that? Had I learned those things, I could have taken those things and go further. Now I have to relearn those things in different ways. So God will teach me through the church. By doing the things of the church, by learning the things of the Lord, God starts to show me, okay, you're not very prompt, you're not very this, you're not accountable, you're not this. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God will send those leaders of our lives to see all those spots that I lacked. So it's not that my dad didn't try to teach me, but it was I willing to learn at that time? That was my fault. A lot of it. But thank you to God that he changed my heart. So now, I hope I do have a heart to learn. But the thing is, what I could have gained from a young age, I didn't get it. And so what I couldn't get, God still makes sure I get it, but he sends people, like pastors, like leaders, spiritual leaders too. Okay, here, you're lacking this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that my dad didn't teach me, but I'm just saying that there are so many things that I've missed in my own life, and that had to be dealt with. Got to be taught those things. Otherwise, I'd remain foolish, because foolishness is not in the heart of the child. But those who are trained by it, they're wrong. Trained by it, then they will not depart from it when they go off. Is that true? Yeah. Alright, so I pray this morning for myself and for all of us here today that we realize that the reality of God in our lives will cause us to have a desire to change, to be trained because we are God's special people, zealous for good works. The reality, the practicality of my life is expressed so that the Word of God becomes fresh, so that it's surreal. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the reality of God's Word will be so powerfully and so touching with him right now in Jesus' name. No longer will the Word of God will not be brought, not according to tradition, but in the name of Jesus, it has the power to change my life as I willingly give myself to him in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this morning is, you know, maybe there's some of you here that, you know, feel like you're so far away from God. But I want to let you know that God so loves us that he picks us out from darkness and has a purpose for all of us. God did not forget us. God, what is man that God was so mindful to him? Sometimes we look at our lives and we realize we were not doing the right thing, we were lazy, we were all these kind of things. But today, God has given us a chance to make a difference. To be God's special people. No, we're not just some numbers in the computer, but we are God's special people. And for some of you here who have never made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today God gives all of us here an opportunity to make that decision, to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He can turn all these negative things in my life, take me out of darkness and bring me into his light. He can take me from a foolish life into a real, practical life full of wisdom. Amen. And maybe there's some of you who may want to rededicate your life because you realize, was God ever really real to me? But today, let the reality and the truthfulness of the power and the presence of God touch us in Jesus' name. So I want to invite you this morning. If you've never received Jesus, today you can say to Jesus, Jesus, I turn away from my sins. I know I need a Savior. I know I cannot help myself. I am so tiny. This world is so tiny in the midst of clusters of galaxies. But yet you can still love me and you still chose me. You can make a decision by saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm helpless. But you came down to help me. And today, I want to turn away. I receive what you've done for me. You died for me with your precious blood to wash me from my sin. You rose from the dead. You're seated in heaven. You're coming back again for me. You can make a decision. And I promise you, if you make that decision from your heart and you really believe it, your life will be completely changed. I make that decision, and I know my life completely changed. And I have this conviction, this assurance that if you really make that decision, you will be changed. Amen. So I want to invite you, so if that's you today, I want you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus,
I recognize
that I need you. Come into my life as I turn away
from
all the bad things
that I've done. I receive
the perfect
sacrifice of Jesus, who washes away my sins.
Come into my life.
Change me.
Now
I'll make you my Lord and my Savior.
Come and live with me.
Holy Spirit, dwell in me.
Baptize me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. If you made that prayer, really made that prayer, you can be sure that God gives you a new beginning, gives you a new life, and you are a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and your life has just begun. It's for eternity, and your life will never be the same. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe that, if you receive that this morning, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Alright, maybe I'll get a musician to just come down, and we're going to sing one song. Let's stand to our feet, and after that, if you need prayer, you can come down here. Pastors will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, you can make your way to the hospitality room, and we can get to know you a little better, and we can have some real fellowship with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, even as we eat. Remember, eating doesn't affect our way we resurrect. We've got to be careful about that, so. Okay, let's see. What do you